I was in Phoenix this week for a company meeting, and it's a long week when all the higher ups at your company's there, and it's about 10-hour days. One of the good parts of it is that you get to see people that you hadn't seen in a long time. I got to see a lady that I work with, and she is smart. She's got like her master's degree. She's just always really bubbly. Not so this past week. And she was very quiet, very distracted. And it was just laid on my heart. You ever get those urges that you need to talk with someone and you really think it kind of borders into none of your business, but Holy Spirit don't really have those boundaries and he just keeps kind of pushing on towards it? We had a few minutes and we talked. And she had been in a relationship with a person for about a year or so. And on the outside, looked like he really had it all together. On the inside, he was in a mess. Dealing with one or more addictions, has a great job. They were actually trying to fix up a house together and plan the future together. And he just stopped caring. He knows he has an issue with addiction. Went full face forward into the addiction. Started running around on this lady, cheating on her. All this time, all this effort with this relationship. This lady couldn't take any more of it. She left. He moves his girlfriend in with him in the house that this other person, my friend, had helped make. But yet, he continues to call. Why? I think control. I think sometimes people, that's the only way they feel anything. And the words toxic relationship came out of my mouth, along with a few more things that aren't really made for Sundays. Your pastor's a work in progress when it comes to colorful language. She's depressed, distraught as any one of us would be. She felt love for him and wanted to help him. He didn't want to accept responsibility for his actions. Now, I'll go ahead, step off right here. Nobody asked to be an addict. Nobody. I've never heard a single person say, I want to grow up and be an addict. But when you know you have an addiction and you know you are an addict for life, if you're addicted to alcohol, if you're addicted to drugs, you're going to be for life. And it could be anybody in this room. Literally, you could throw out a coin and whoever catches it, that's your chances. Doesn't matter if it's in a mansion or a single wide, it's there. But when you know you have that problem and you go straight forward to it and you don't care about anybody around you, that's when I got a problem with you. And that's what this guy did. He didn't want to accept responsibility for his actions, and he didn't want her to move on. He wanted to keep doing what he was doing with no thought of how it was affecting. This man has children. And how it's affecting them. How it's affecting this woman that he told her he loved her. Nobody has to raise their hands. But how many have been in a situation like that? Well, all have. One point in time, probably all of us been in some type of toxic relationship. Sometimes we're on one side of it, sometimes we're on another. And I realized as I was talking with this lady that this is what I was supposed to speak about. Why? I have no idea. But there's somebody that's listening to this or going to be listening to this needs to hear this. Some of the stuff I got to say, it ain't going to be coated with sugar. But it's true. If you look up toxic, related to a toxin or other poison, it's deadly to the body. Relationship, connection or association. So you put the two together, you're being poisoned by a connection or association that you have. Toxic relationship is one of these buzzwords that gets thrown around a lot, but it's been around since there have been two people together. Some people might could even say Adam and Eve were the first toxic couple because they kind of messed each other up. And anything that hurts physically, psychologically, or emotionally, toxins can get inside of you. They can destroy your health. Hello? That's a... Mom and Dad are getting a new stove today. Our parents have the worst luck with appliances, and I have the best brother in the world. That Robbie, whenever I'm out on the road, he takes care of all this stuff. And with Mom and Dad, if you know them, it's a full-time job and a half. He could actually have a personal assistant, and they could stay busy. But anyway, they aren't a toxic relationship. Toxic relationships, they rob you of your peace of mind. How many people have been in a relationship where there's a person that's got you second-guessing everything? Your Tao, your value? You're not worth anything, not without me. But in reality, you're holding that person up. You're the reason why they have heat in their house. It's very, very destructive. In a lot of the same ways that poisons are. Like cyanide. Cyanide, the way it works, it slowly shuts down all of your body cells. Each cell has little things that chemicals go back and forth to make it work. Cyanide comes in, it's basically like putting concrete in those cells where nothing gets in, nothing gets out. Slowly the cells die. Toxic relationships. Have you ever been in a situation where someone is trying to snip away at people around you? Much the same way. Or corrosive. They eat away who you are and what you do. Now think about the good relationships you've had in your life though. They all have three things in common. There's progress in there. The good relationships in your life, people in this relationship, they keep building the relationship. It keeps adjusting. As the road goes, they adjust. For the curves, for the rivers, and it keeps on going, but it's going in the same direction. That's progress. Productive. There's something good that comes out of that relationship, whether it's an improvement in your physical health, your spiritual health, children, there's something that comes out of it well. Prosperity. Both sides profit from the relationship. Someone that you know, they may drive you up the wall, but you know you're a better person with them than without them. That's a healthy relationship. And I think we all have those. Those people that you're like, and I'm not going to name names, Children's Church, that you have they drive you up the wall, but you cannot imagine life without them. And honey, I know you're going to listen to this later. I love you. And I can tell you right now, I'm a better person. I'm a better man than I ever would have been without her. And I hope she can say something like that about me. And those kind of relationships, they're healthy. They make you better than you are. Now, you contrast that with a toxic relationship. Stagnation. There's no progress. Healthy relationships can't survive in a bubble. People change. People grow. People adapt. When I went to nursing school, it was amazing the number of divorces that occurred in nursing school. Wasn't from anyone running around on anyone, but wives that stepped out and they were changing and they weren't able to do what they were before. Their personalities were changing. Who they were changing. And husbands that couldn't adapt to it. And it happens. I think 40-some people, we had like 6 divorces. And also, it's a stretch. It's a stress and a strain. And sometimes some relationships, an unhealthy relationship, they can't adapt to that strain. Degradation, being reduced. We need to be realistic with each other, but not mean. There's a clear difference between tough love and emotional abuse. Now, my other half is very realistic with me. To put that mildly, very realistic with me, and my part of it, I'm realistic with her at times. Not as often she's realistic with me, but that's a different story. But there's a difference between telling someone, no, honey, you're not going to be able to make it as an Elvis impersonator out in Vegas. Then, look at those shoes. My gosh, why are you wanting to leave out of here in those shoes like that? Oh, my goodness, you know you can't wear that. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. That is, one, tough love, but it's realistic. Other one, come on, you even need to say all that. Deflation. Toxic people tend to have a craving. There's a vital need to take away the self-esteem or self-worth of those they claim to love. It's vital. They have to have it. It's almost, I equate it like with an emotional vampire. They have to feed off of that. Toxic person usually only loves themselves. And they see people as tools, resources. Not partners in a relationship. I used to have a sister-in-law. My ex-wife's sister. That she had to have a relationship. She had to be in a relationship constantly. And there was a guy, first time I met him, I didn't like him. I just could not stand him, which is very rare for me. I tend to talk to a lot of people. I don't care if you've been in the joint. I don't care if you've been in Congress. I go by how you treat me. First time I met him, you're a waste of space. Toxic relationship. They moved in together. After about a month, she would come home from the grocery store. He'd look at the timestamp on the receipt and try and accuse her of running around. Whole time he was cheating on her. But he broke her down. A couple months after that, started her family and strong friends that would tell her, cutting away those ties. By the end of it, and she realized she was in so deep, she was paying for every single thing he did. The one that could not, she couldn't survive without him. In reality, he was a leech. Degradation is a favorite weapon of a toxic person. And as I've been describing these things, have people been popping in your mind for the healthy and unhealthy relationships? They have with me. And this is something that I'm not saying you. I've been in them. I have been. This is just, that is life. If you have a relationship with someone else, there's a potential to have it. And don't think that toxic relationships are confined to just dating or marriage. They're not. Toxic relationships can have a lot of faces. Parent-child, siblings, friendships. And occupational, it could be a supervisor, an employee, co-workers. And because anybody ever had a job they just dreaded going to? Why? Because there's been a job or two I would rather potty train a cobra than go in and mess with them. And because they were a den of vipers. There just wasn't no fixing them. I tried to find something redeeming to say about them for this. And their bodies didn't kill me. That's really about the only redeeming thing I could say about them in my time at these places. I think a lot of us have had that. Or you have that supervisor that no matter what is never good enough. And the thing is, they're not that tough on everyone else. You do most of their work. And then they take that. And what do they give you? And if it's one of those three things on that list that we went through, the degradation, the deflation, you're in a toxic relationship. They're common, and they're starting at a younger age. Psychology Today did a study. I think it's 500 and some kids, teens. 1 in 3, victim of emotional, physical abuse with someone they're in a relationship with. more likely have that happen? Drugs, shootings, anything else. And it blends into a cycle. What does the Bible say about toxic relationships? And said before, they occurred back then. Imagine as long as there have been people, there's been somebody trying to take advantage of somebody else. And I started looking through scriptures and found these verses in 2 Corinthians where Paul talked about relationships. It just really seemed to fit. Now, the church in Corinth, in Greece, it was a really big, huge shipping city. For our ancient city, had between 100,000 and 600,000 people in it. The church there was started by 50 years by Paul after the death of Christ. And I think there's still a church there, I believe. And the book of 1 and 2 Corinthians have a lot of good scripture. And part of that reason, they was in a mess. Paul spent more time there than he did any other church. And there were a lot of relationship issues and things like that. And a lot of that good scripture we get is because Paul was trying to tell them how to get back on the right way. Now, 2 Corinthians, verses 6, 14 through 18. What's Paul talking about when he wrote about not being bound together with unbelievers? He's saying to come out of a relationship that might be harmful with your relationship to God or harmful to yourself. Since you've become a Christian, are there people in your lives that have criticized you, saying you changed, calling you a hypocrite? Generally saying whatever bad they can about you and God. If you take a good look at your relationship with that person, what's changed? Have you changed for the worse? Or are you more aware of what's going on around you? And that person is the person that has changed. That person is doing what you know to be wrong in God's eyes. And you're to a point now that you're saying, this is wrong. I don't need to be treated like this. You don't need to treat me like this. I don't deserve this. And toxic people can be very manipulative. They will sometimes try and bend scripture to suit their needs. Even Satan quoted scripture. To keep you right where you're at. You're a battery. People that are victims in toxic relationships tend to be batteries to help these people do whatever they need. Remind them of this verse, though. Matthew 18, verse 6. Jesus said, but whoever causes one of these little ones to believe in me to stumble would be better for him to have a heavy millstone hung around his neck and be drowned in death of the sea. He wasn't talking about children. He's talking about born-again children. Basically, you knock a Christian off their rails, a true Christian off their rails, and you turn them away from God, you're going to have some explaining to do. And it would be better for you to have a heavy stone hung around your neck and thrown in the ocean. Jesus is very clear about that. Scripture can be twisted and turned, but remember in the back of your minds, the devil tried to use scripture with Jesus, didn't make it right. And if you are looking in that book and you know what you're doing is right, that is a guide for your life. And another thing, if you can't get closer to Jesus if you're hanging out with the wrong people. If they're tearing you down. These same people may point out that Jesus was a friend of sinners, and yes, he is. We're all sinners. However, if you look at scripture, these people change for the better. Jesus didn't bend on what was right or wrong. They changed their lives. They took accountability for what they had done, and they changed. I've said it before, we're saved by grace. We're changed by choice. Jesus' grace is out there for all of us, but we're changed by choice. And that's something that toxic person in a relationship, they got to change. Not change on the outside, they got to change on the inside. Verse 15, Belial is a Hebrew name for Satan. It's one of the contrasts that Paul is using here. There's no harmony between Jesus and Satan. They're polar opposites. Their last face-to-face was in that desert where they were being, where Jesus was being tempted. Their next face-to-face will be in Armageddon. They were polar opposites, good and evil. And you think about, what did Satan attempt to do in that last meeting? He didn't openly attack Jesus. He waited. Jesus had fasted 40 days, 40 nights. He waited till he was weak. And then tried to prey on him, tempt him, confuse him. What about the person in a relationship you probably thought about? Did they ever come at you when you were strong? Or did they wait? Choose their time. Hyenas don't attack out in the open unless there's wounded prey. That's what predators do. Does any of that sound familiar? Where you're attacked, someone preys upon you, not aggressively, but they use that subtlety. They use familiar language with you, and they get in closer. That same thing happened to me. These folks are usually really smart. They're very smart, they're very sly, they're very cunning. It's tough to maintain a healthy relationship between two people if one's a Christian and one's not. It's possible. It is very possible. But that person that's not a Christian and the one that is, they have to have mutual respect for each other. Mutual respect. It's possible. But if you don't have those two things, you're in bad trouble. If you don't respect the person you're in a relationship with, you're going to start... The inclination is there to begin to use them. And if the relationship's not healthy to begin with, the Christian's in danger of falling away from God. Look at Solomon. Solomon, son of David. He talked with God. He talked with God. He built the greatest structure ever built in Jerusalem. He had wisdom of the ages, Proverbs, Song of Solomon. Solomon wrote that. Riches beyond compare. Did he die with God in his heart? No. He fell away. Why? He had 100, 200 wives, and almost all of them, none of them were Christian. None of them were Jewish. And he fell away. And if you're in a relationship with someone right now and they aren't a Christian, but it's a healthy relationship, if you can turn back and what we were talking about a little while ago, and it's productive and it's profitable and it's progressive, that's a good relationship. It is. It's a good relationship. And don't mess up a good thing. Keep praying for them. Keep hoping for them. If it's in the D list, though, the degradable, the deflatable, then that's a lot of stress. Solomon fell away even after all he witnessed and achieved. And what is a person in a toxic relationship, that toxic person, what do they really believe? What do they really pray for? Is it God? Do they throw God up at you? Do they talk the talk or do they walk the walk? Do they throw him up at you? But they go off and they're doing their own thing? Or do they actually walk the walk? If they're actually walking the walk and doing what's right according to that, it might be time you start looking in the mirror. Maybe they're not the toxic ones in a relationship. But if they're talking the talk and they go off and they're living in this world, what are they living for? Is it money? Is it power? Is it control? So many times, control is an issue. Christians, we belong to the living God. We are His children. And when we become believers, we're no longer part of this world. John the disciple said we need to go out into this world, but not be of it. What that means is we have a responsibility as followers of Jesus to spread the gospel to others. Not looking down on folks, not trying to be condemning to them, but we got to be honest. But we can't get sucked into it, into the world. Because this world is a garden of thorns. It is not the world we were meant for. Jesus prayed this prayer for his disciples in John 17. I'm not asking that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They're not of the world just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Come out from their midst and be separate. Do not touch what is unclean, and I'll welcome you. Some people that are listening to this may think I'm implying that we're better than others. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying this, that at all. Whenever I talk to you about sin, it ain't from secondhand knowledge. It's from firsthand. All of us are born sinners. We're going to be. We try, the Christians, the one that tries to get closer to Jesus and try and act more like Jesus, will never get there. But in our attempts, we will get closer to Him. What I am saying is that if you're suffering physically, emotionally, spiritually from a toxic relationship, God don't want that. There's a difference between helping somebody and getting taken advantage of. You have the free will to stay in that environment. These verses, though, reflect what God thinks about it. And I look at this verse kind of like looking at sin as a disease. In healthcare as a nurse, I've taken care of people that have communicable disease. I help take care of sick people. I help some of the diseases and infections spread, tuberculosis, other things. Did I need to catch that disease in order to take care of them? No, I didn't. There may be a time in your life where you ask yourself, is this relationship hurting me physically, spiritually? Ask yourself, will this person change? If they are honest to goodness trying to change, that's one thing. We all made mistakes. We all have. If they are honestly trying to change and improve, that's something different. But if they are happy right where they're at, they're happy using you, they are happy wearing you down, are they hurting you when they know better? And they enjoy doing it. Are they profiting off your misery? And I don't mean hard work where two people are working hard together trying to have something. And if that happens, are you really making the decision to take care of yourself? Or did their actions do that for you? When someone is displaying that kind of behavior, I think they've already made the decision. They're showing you how they really are. If you're in this situation alone, or there are others that are affected by it, are there children involved? What's best for them? Those are all things to think about. And God says, I'll be a father to you, and you'll be sons and daughters to me. Once you make up your mind that you want out of the toxicity of a relationship that has poisoned your life, hijacked your peace, and kept you from being where you're supposed to be at in God's plan. Once you've made up your mind that you want real love, real peace, real joy, real happiness, real prosperity, that's when you recognize that sometimes you have to come out in order to come in. Some of the things I've said, they weren't easy to say, so I know they ain't easy to hear. And I just feel like, though, this was when this young lady, which she decided to block this guy's number. It was a hard decision for her, but it was one she had to make. And ask her. I didn't prompt her. We just started talking. And she made that decision with him. And I'm going to get everybody to stand with me. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. And if there is that person out there that you're in a relationship with, or you know somebody that's in a relationship with a person that they are hurting them, and it may not be physically. A lot of times it's not. It's emotionally, spiritually. There is something, and that person is doing this in spite of the fact they know it's wrong, and they have no plans to change. That's toxic. That's bad. You use those relationship guides. Is this relationship positive? Is good stuff happening from it? Are you being held down? Are you being degraded? Are you being broken down? Which is it? Can I tell you what to do? No. I can't. But there's God that can. Be honest with Him. Talk to Him. Be humble. And admit, I don't know what to do. I have no idea what to do. Please help me. Put one foot in front of another. After we pray, the songs will be going and the altars will be open. Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer. Father, this is just laid on my heart. There's somebody that is listening to this or will listen to this that needs to hear it. I don't know who. I don't know why. But Father, go to them. Open their hearts up, Father. Open their ears up, their eyes up. Father, if this is a relationship that might be dangerous, Father, keep your hands on them. Protect them. Keep them safe. Father, if this is something that has interfered with your plans, Father, do what needs to be done in here. We lift everyone up here to you, Father, everyone that's listening to this message, because we've all had relationships that weren't healthy. And they take away from us. They take away from you. And Father, they hurt physically and spiritually. Father, we just ask for discernment to know what's on people's hearts. We ask for wisdom to make the right decisions, Father. We ask for your protection, your leadership, your guidance, Father, in all of our relationships. And Father, help us. If we are the person that is poisoning someone else, take the poison away. Take the behavior away. Make us who you want us to be. Father, we ask the same if we're in a relationship with a person that we love and they're hurting us. Father, take that poison away. Make them the people they're supposed to be, not the people they are. In Jesus' name, we pray all these things. Amen.